He said she wasn't here.
What?
She's right there. She's right there.
Maybe I was asking about you.
Were you?
Yes. A good thing.
It was a good question.
This is nice.
Miss Nancy and Rob.
I'd like to call this meeting to order. It is 6:08. This is a meeting of the Policy, Instruction, Personnel, Student Services Committee meeting, February 10, 2014, here in our great Camotillo ISD administrative offices.
Yay!
First time speaking.
Can I do the roll call? Mrs. Gonzalez?
She's running a little late.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mr. Medina?
Here.
First item, policy A, CH local, purchasing and acquisition.
If it's okay with my fellow committee members, it has been requested that we move up item 2D. Please, if there's no objection, can we
none,
do that?
None at all.
Item 2B, discussion and possible formulation.
No, D. Maybe because I'm a little nasal. D is a dog.
Sorry. Item 2B. Textbook adoption.
Mr. Basurto.
Good evening. We're just here to present the IMA textbook adoption for this school year. As you know, we had our voting delegates and our representatives and interpreters here today. So they're here with us, and we're just here to present our findings based on the committee and their work. And I do want to say thank you to all these teachers who have dedicated their time and efforts. They have put in their effort, and we're much indebted in gratitude with them because it's on their own accord and free will. So we're really thankful for that. That being said, we are the subject matter that we're considering is the K-5 math and science. 6-8 math and science adoption, high school physics, biology, and chemistry. As you notice on the first round, these were the choices based off of the data that was determined from their voting delegates on January 22nd and 23rd, when they did their campus voting. Those were the choices. First choice for math K-5 was Pearson. Second choice was Houghton. Science K-5 was Houghton. Second choice was Pearson. Third choice was Delta. Math 6-8 was Houghton. Second choice was McGraw-Hill, Pearson was third choice. Science 6-8, Houghton. Second choice was McGraw-Hill, third choice was Pearson. Biology was Houghton, first choice, Pearson second. Third choice was McGraw-Hill. Physics, Houghton, Pearson, McGraw-Hill. Chemistry, Pearson, Houghton, McGraw-Hill. So that was a summary of those dates. In addition to that, we brought them back a second time to review those top three. Basically, we whittled down all the possible vendors, the top three, and this illustrious team that we have back here came back, did some rubrics, and revoted. And on the second page on the list, we have our recommendations and with the summaries of costs and options. For elementary level, recommending the committee recommends Pearson Education. Option one package of all-inclusive will cost us $345,433. Second option, we're still recommending that we need that $345,433,000 option for that particular chosen
last year?
Option.
What was our cost last year?
In science, we our committee chose Houghton. And our first option was a deluxe package for $322,832. However, we do have science labs already up and running. So we were able to find some cost savings there by going to the basic because we don't necessarily need the materials for the manipulatives because we already have science labs up and running at each of the elementary campuses. So we're recommending the $250,928 package. At the middle school level, mathematics, Houghton was our first choice, and we're recommending the deluxe package at $125,705,000. And then the science, Huffton first choice, and we're recommending the basic package of $119,684. And at the high school level, biology was Huffton. We're recommending the deluxe package of $49,527. Physics, the deluxe package of $46,458. And the chemistry for Pearson at $44,800. And so these are our recommendations if you have any questions.
I would like to add that under the middle school level, because they chose the same publisher, we got an additional discount from that actual publisher for getting both content matter from the same publisher. And as far as the total amount to be paid, this is an 8-year subscription that we are committing to. It provides digital and textbook book to hardcover material to take home with them, as well as some workbooks that are part of the package. And it's also important to note that now that the state has given us the IMA allotment funding, we don't have the full amount of this price. However, I have done some research as far as additional funds within our budget to cover the offset. If you recall, when the land was purchased, there was a $3.5 million designation for the land. We paid $3.1 million. And so there's $450,000 that are sitting there that we can offset into instructional.
Which land specifically?
The last purchase of the
Lions?
Yes.
Lions property came in at 3.1?
Well, in total.
Okay.
The Lions property and the SCC.
We set aside 3.5 for contingencies. Okay.
Yes. And I'd like to also add, when I reported to you on the first rating, I mentioned to you that our administrative cost ratio was off by approximately $400,000. So transferring the funds from the land purchase, remaining land purchase, to instructional materials for the purchase of the textbooks would balance out our administrative cost ratio. And so that is what we are proposing as administration to offset the cost of the material that the teachers have reviewed extensively and made their selection from.
Through the chair.
Yes, sir.
How much is the state IMA allotment?
The IMA allotment is given to us in a biennium, so it's in a two-year, over a two-year span, and it is $489,838.
And that's for a two-year cost?
That's for a biennium, yes.
When was the last time we did a new adoption of books?
The last adoption was probably, I believe it was in 2010 or 11.
Do you know the cost back then?
Well,
of what
back
that cost?
At the time, was it further back? Yes.
Okay. Well, they'll know, right?
We brought our team.
But in the past, we didn't actually receive the IMA funds. In the past, the state would basically take an inventory of our enrollment based on PEAMS data. So based on our enrollment, we would order, the committee would select the books, and then we would submit our orders to the state.
Mm-hmm.
They would just in turn send over whatever material. They would give us a price limit, but it was doable within the funds that they allotted.
Okay.
In this event, they're now giving us the funds, and we are to make do with what we have.
So if we were to go with the option one at the $1,072,502,
mm-hmm.
it was $400 from a sale of land, correct? And then another $489 from the state IMA allotment.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the remaining coming from?
I'm expecting the other half of the IMA funds to come in September. They give it to us in two.
So it's two allotments of $489?
No, the total is $489.
Okay.
And then we get the next biennium, they send us another.
Again, where's the difference between the 889 and the 1072?
Because we
$200,000
from the previous biennium, we've mm-hmm. kind of been holding on to some money.
Perfect.
So we have.
Thank you very much. That's it.
Any more questions? I apologize for coming in late. One of my questions is. Any of the items that are being proposed, are they like consumable?
Yes, it's my understanding.
Some of the items are consumable and they'll have to be renewed, and that's part of the purchase. that they'll have to be re-upped every year.
We won't have to pay. Every year we'll get the workbooks.
Is there going to be enough funds to cover that?
Well, this
we're,
is it.
This is what we're proposing.
For how many years?
Eight years.
We get 8 years of consumables. That's what it's saying. That's what I'm understanding, correct?
Yes.
So we don't have to pay every year is what I think
this
your
is
question
it.
Is.
That. For 8 years, that should cover us for the next 8 years. That's our understanding. I'm talking to the questions.
Mm-hmm. And that was my question, if we were going to have enough funds.
And right now, what we have is another thing too that we'd like to mention is the calculation we've done is assuming that every student gets an actual textbook and not a class set for, you know, per teacher. So this is, you know, so to speak, the worst case scenario where we buy the entire population a work, a textbook, versus just having textbooks, classrooms as per teacher. So this is at the highest level.
A lot of this, I know that we have a lot of professionals here. We personally, I congratulate you for being here, taking time off of your busy schedule. My question is, a lot of those, some of the things that have been recommended here are those worksheets?
Worksheets?
Well, it's part of the bundle.
We sell different pieces to that subscription. And our teachers had an opportunity to look at that and propose what they wanted with each of those proposed members.
So they get an electronic version and then the hard book.
Just depending on what package they chose.
And that's my question, electronic. If it's electronic, it's printable. We have to come up with a paper, no?
Right, but they have the workbooks along with the material.
And that's my question. If it's already electronic, why are we ordering the workbooks?
Because that's adding more expenditure. So, for example, if I...
Future expenditures as far as printing and paper.
No workbooks.
So in the mathematics, for example...
No workbooks.
But if it's electronic, why are we ordering extra workbooks? If it's available electronically.
Point of reference, the books themselves.
Go ahead and.
The books themselves, Yvonne Gonzalez, Garcia Elementary. Can you hear me from here?
Sure.
The books themselves are consumable books. It's not a hardcover textbook. The companies have decided they're not going to separate workbooks and books. Every book is consumable at the elementary level. So both the math and the read and the science, they're writing in them. So they have to replace them every year. Because the students have their, basically, there is no hardcover textbook.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Makes sense. Okay.
Any more questions?
No.
No questions?
No.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Is there something else to recommend?
We're going to recommend it to the full board.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, they did.
Policy CH, local purchasing and
acquisition. Miss Anita. See you right there.
On this agenda item, as a result of two audits by our internal audit office, we were required to modify and update our policy CH local. And so I provided to you in the agenda packet the actual policy with the items that's added to the policy in blue and the items removed in red and crossed out. And so as you can see, there aren't many revisions to the actual policy. However, to be standard across the board with our local policy, our purchasing manual, and our district regulation, we've done the revisions. And so in the areas where it says in excess of, we modified it to reflect in excess of $9,999.99. Because at the $10,000 mark, it's technically at that point, it does have to go to the board for approval. So because we had an excess in front of it, we reduced that amount. And then at the very end on page 2, we did add an additional paragraph at the bottom where we indicate that the policy will be reviewed and updated as necessary on an annual basis, along with the purchasing manual and the district regulation. And the revisions were reviewed with our internal auditor to ensure that we met the requirements of the audit plan, the comprehensive action plan, sorry. And so we presented to you for first reading with the understanding that we'll have to present again. Well, we'll present at the board meeting and then again next month for final approval, if approved by you.
Question.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Gatlin, does this meet with your approval?
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Lauren?
I have a question. Mr. Gatlin, when did you get this?
It disappeared over Christmas break. I'm not sure how I got here.
I have my good glasses on tonight.
We'll see how it goes.
So it's only by one penny. That's the difference. Huh?
Right. And only because if you say an excess of, and technically at $10,000, yeah, we have to bring it to you. So it should be an excess of the $9,999. And so what we did is we standardized. Ron did a great job of looking at the reg, the policy, along with the purchasing manual, and ensuring that we were saying the same thing in each document. And so, like I said, we did sit down and review with Mr. Rodriguez to ensure that it was meeting to his expectations as far as what the audit plan requested.
Okay. Mr. Medina, are you okay with it?
Yeah. No questions.
So we'll recommend it? Okay.
Yes, recommend it to the board.
Feel comfortable. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next agenda item, Carlos.
Item 2B, discussion, possible formulation of recommendation to the Board of Trustees regarding the 2014-15 school calendar.
No.
Mr. Reveles.
Mr. Reveles.
Calendar.
Ms. Gonzalez, members of the committee. Ms. Burton is joining me as well. The calendar committee of the DAC met several times and drafted separate drafts that were given to you. The only draft that really should be considered is draft A. They're the same as far as dates. The only difference is the division of grading periods between 6 and 9 weeks. We recommend 6 weeks for this year, upcoming year, sticking with 6 weeks as a grading period. And the superintendent is going to put together a committee to study the feasibility and the benefits of a 9 week grading period.
Question?
Yes, sir.
So draft B is a 9 week calendar?
Yes.
That was just in practice because everything else is essentially the same. The holidays.
Right. Okay. The dates are identical.
Any questions?
That's it.
I have a question. Has this been through DAC already?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it went through DAC with the understanding that we would be studying the 6 weeks versus 9 weeks issue, and that will be brought to you as such.
Okay.
Another question.
And we also have a principal's meeting on Thursday, too, so we'll be talking about this to the principal's meeting.
Okay. My other question is this the same as CPISD?
Yes.
As of right now, yes.
Yes. It is. We coordinated with EPISD specifically on spring break, also with UTEP and El Paso Community College in order to align our students that attend classes in
Community College?
Yes.
Okay.
Through the chair. Thanksgiving week, that's in line with every other district. Is that correct?
Yes.
Everybody has the exact same Thanksgiving weekend, Thanksgiving week off.
Right, and it's we posed the question of whether to have just a couple of days or 3 days off instead of the whole week to the committee in order to pepper the calendar with other days off, but they chose the whole
week. Yeah, I remember my time on DAC for that.
You remember.
Yes, I do. I will never touch that again. Just a question now. That's it.
No more question? Okay. I'll recommend it to the full board.
Thank you.
Thank you. The second item.
If you're done by 7.
Item 2C, organizational health inventory. Mr. Basuto.
It's because we got that presentation out of that.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Good evening.
Good evening.
Quickly, can you give a description of the organizational health inventory? The major goals of this particular aspect is to provide a safe and secure environment, increase student academic achievement, enhance student staff character formation, maximize their resources, build citizenship and community, increase timely and transparent communications. So this is a tool to help build campus capacity and structures within the building. So how do the world's best performing school systems come out on top? And according to the McKinsey report in 2007, all of the top performing systems recognize that they cannot improve what they do not measure. So if we're not measuring organizational health and how systems are functioning and how teachers are collaborating and working within their buildings, how can we improve upon that? They highlight the importance of leadership and its impact upon the working environment and levels of student performance. So what they're stating is there's a correlation between student achievement and how well adults work within the building. In other words, if adults aren't working well together, then more than likely your student achievement is not going to rise. Makes sense. So what is organizational health? So essentially what it is, it has 10 areas that it assesses and measures. And so for an organization to be healthy, it has to do several things. It's got to function effectively, cope adequately to change, because we're always changing. You got to change appropriately, and you got to grow from within. That's building the leadership capacity of your building. That's what an effective organization looks for. Now, the way OHI works is, and I had the opportunity to work under as a principal under this program, was it focuses on 10 domains, of which they are goal focus, communication, power equalization, resource utilization, cohesiveness, morale, innovation, autonomy, adaptation, and problem-solving attitude. So basically it assesses those 10 areas, and it kind of gives you data based on where you're at, based on the perception of adults in the building. So I'll give you a little bit of an example of what that looks like. So for example, goal focus, which we know is one of the most important of the 10. And so goal focus, what that is the ability of persons, groups, or organizations to have clarity, acceptance, support, internalization, and advocacy of goals and objectives. It's not just putting the goals up, but how well do the adults in that building take those goals and adopt them and internalize them and put them into practice. That's goal focus. So for example, you see a visual up there. And what it does is at first, if the goal focus is not even clear, and you have no, as you go up the ladder, it will go from clarity to acceptance to support to ultimately where you want it to, where people are internalizing it and advocating those goals. And it's not just not clear enough just to say, I know what they are and accept them, but you want to push your staff to go above that so they're internalizing and advocating those goals. So this is a graphic organizer of more or less how the process would work. Basically, the campus will get an introductory orientation session of what is OHI, what are the domains, just to kind of get an overview of what it is. Then the first step would be to administer the assessment and collect data based off of those 10 competencies that I described earlier. And then you get an overview report. And here's the extra step that goes on. In addition to getting just a report, then you actually, the principal gets a one-hour session with the individual and to interpret the data about what does the data tell you and what are some areas of growth. After they work with the principal for an hour, then they bring in a team. So basically the principal would compile an OHI team that would get that information. After he gets he or she gets a consultation, then the team gets an orientation and gets strategies on what they need to do next to improve upon those targeted areas, depending on what the data tells you. And then that's what you call a resource team conference. And then from there, the team would then get training sessions, and then they would put a plan to specifically target those one of those 10 areas that the data tells you we need to improve upon. So it's a cycle that you do every year. So in addition to just getting data, like we get some data nowadays, they actually give information on how to interpret it and what are some next steps working with the teams. So that way your capacity within your building gets better in the 10 areas that we identify based on the data. So how is it measured? Essentially, individuals respond to an 80-item OHI regarding the internal workings of their school work unit, 8 items for each of the 10 dimensions that I mentioned. They are collected during the one special meeting, so pretty much all the teachers come together, and they're given this OHI questionnaire, and they fill it out. And then the choices range from strongly agree to agree, undecided, disagree, or strongly disagree, based on those 10 domains. After that, the principal and the OHI team would get a graph that looks similar like this. You notice the 10 domains are there, with the percentile scores, and you can kind of guess where you're high, where you're low, and what you need to address on the 10 areas. And that's where the interpretation conferences come in handy to make sense of the data. What do you do? What does the data mean to you? And what can I do about it to improve upon it? So this right here is not just about feelings. You also have to have results. So here, this graph gives you results. Student performance to the left, going up, in addition to how people are feeling under the domain of cohesiveness. And so ultimately what we want is we want to move organizations from the left up to stage 4 in the white. Where if you notice on the left hand, we're going to have like polite, guardedness, watchful, impersonal, they avoid controversial issues. As you progress on, it turns into, okay, now we're taking sides, confronting each other about issues instead of just pushing them under the rug. And then the next step would be confront the issues, not the person, search for win-win strategies, provide open, honest feedback. And eventually, the goal is to have all campuses to where they're open, honest, flexible, both supportive, and effective. And this is what a 3 or 4 year trend would look like on each of the stages. So you would have strategies around this on how to get, if a school, depending on where your school's at, get them from one area to the next. So there it is. How, go back, Rose. You notice on here, typically what you would do is each of those letters represents a school. And based on the data, they would chart schools depending on where they're at. So you notice N, R, J, J, they all are under that domain. Keep going, those. These schools fall under the inviting domain. Those schools are already at the getting organized stage. And that school, F, is already at the mature closely stage, which means that they're getting results and they have high OHI scores. Because it's not just OHI scores, but you also have to have the results to back it up. So for example, here's another way to look at it. Here's a school, and under that domain there is where that school is functioning with power over. What does that mean? The principal is pretty much directing, telling everybody this is how you do it, this is where you're gonna do it. We wanna get away from that and move over to the next domain where you have power with. So now you're involving your people and your personnel to make decisions collectively, not just the principal leading and telling everybody what to do. And ultimately, you want to go to the blue zone. You want to go back, Rose, one more? You want to go to the blue zone. Ultimately, that's where the principal is just one member of the organization, coordinating and leading, but it's just one voice amongst many. So it's not, you go from power over to power with to collaboration, and that's the ultimate goal. So do you think most of our schools are functioning in the red, white, or blue zones? I'm sure if you wander around and walk around and you ask campuses across El Paso, you can easily probably identify your reds, your whites, and your blues. Question is, do you even know your red, white, or blue? And then what do you do about it once you know that? What are some strategies and interpretation on how to get us across to the next level? Go on to the next one. Okay, so ultimately, this is a tool to let us know where we're at as an organization, how do we function, how do we work, how are we building goal focus, interdependence, how are we coping with change, in addition to how do we correlate our results with that. So again, Ultimately, what we want is to know and target our areas and move up in our from red to blue. So this is what OHI is in gist. I know it's a lot more to it, but I just want to give you a big interpretation of what this possible program can do for us. If you have any questions.
Any questions? Ms. Lori?
What's it cost?
It is looking at about, where's Mr. Stripped at? I believe it was, off the top of my head, out here in front of me, it's about $18,000 or $19,000.
For how long?
For 1 year, per year.
And I'm going to take a guess it hasn't been budgeted for, so are you looking to put it in?
I've already put something aside for next year, if approved.
Yes, it'd be this year's budget looking at.
Yes, ma'am. Correct. Correct. And so if approved, what would happen is we would have our first segment of sampling would be in May. That way we can get some data, get our teams working to make a plan for next year to improve the organizational health or whatever the domains, depending where each school is. What I also need to clarify is that every school's different. We may have some schools in the red. Mm-hmm. We may have already some schools in the white. We actually may already have some schools in the blue. Mm-hmm. We don't know. But so it doesn't necessarily mean that everybody starts in the red. It just depends where that organization is.
How does this equate to PLCs?
PLCs is more, well, it's in many ways it is interrelated because how is it that you're planning and how is that organized and structured in your building? How much autonomy is given to teachers during PLC time? Remember the graph where I showed you power over? So a PLC, in my mind, if I'm visualizing it, a power over would be where the principal comes in and says, this is what you're doing today during this PLC meeting. Probably a more mature organization that's further along in the continuum, it wouldn't be the principal leading the PLC. It would probably be the teachers themselves making the agenda. It's a process, so it just depends.
But isn't that kind of the concept of a PLC, that it is a unit, you are a community,
yes, ma'am.
And so if you're not working it like this, you're not working your PLC properly.
Exactly, that's correct.
So do we get rid of the PLCs then for this?
No, we make the PLCs more effective and more efficient in the way they're supposed to be used. If anything, if they're not being used appropriately, then we need to do something to change it.
And the cost for PLC?
It's free. That's just, PLC means just time.
I know, but I know that in the past we've paid for programs.
Training.
Oh, for training?
No more?
Well, depending on, based on the principal and what they're working on.
Yeah. But I don't want to think that this is different from a professional learning community. Because this actually talks about the overall health of your organization and measures and ties it, correlates it to the results. Professional learning community are teachers coming together to talk about what do kids need to know, how do you know they know it, and what are you going to do when they don't know it, and what are you going to do when they do know it. So that's still another process. This actually looks at the overall organization. It determines the effectiveness, whether do we all get along and know results, or do we get the results and it's very top down. As Mr. Gusutu was showing, is that you want your schools in that top quadrant where you have collegiality versus congeniality. So, which is, in my opinion, separate from the professional learning communities because that's a continuum.
I understand. So they would work hand in glove.
Yes, ma'am. If anything, it would improve the PLCs depending on how they're functioning.
I have another question.
Yes, ma'am.
Could you not do this with SurveyMonkey?
The problem is the interpretation and what do you do with the data. See, we have data, but then no one follows up, and here it is, and it just gives us a folder. What do you do with it? And how do you interpret it? How do you make sense of it? So, Rose, go back to go back to the one with the red. So when you have something like that, and that one just looks very simple, but you have to be able to interpret based on what each of the 10 domains mean. So, for example, that one has not a very good goal focus, the GF. So you have to understand and know how to interpret this data, and you have a consultant who comes in, actually sit down with the principal, looks at the data sets and says, what does the data tell you, and they work through it. Then from there, they take it to the team. And then from there, they make sense of it, and then they create an action plan based on what the data is telling you. So if we just do survey, and we're just giving them data, but then what do we do with it? OHI works on this. Yeah, they work on this, and they help you make sense of the data, and then they actually help you create a form action plan to improve upon these areas. That's the difference, really, ultimately.
And are you capable of evaluating it?
Yes, because this is completely tied to student achievement results. So it's not just how well adults feel, mm-hmm. but also how do we tie it to the achievement results. So if you go back, Rose, go back to the other one. Go forward, I'm sorry. Keep going. That one right there, mm-hmm. see the student performance? It's not just how I feel, but it's also what results are we showing, okay. in addition to how we feel as an organization.
What do you expect to get out of them? What are your expectations? We spend $19,000, we get this, we implement it next year. Obviously, it's not going to be instantaneous.
No. Building mature schools that work and plan collaboratively together along with the principal.
But when do you think you're going to see the results? Of?
Depending on the leadership and the team capacity and where they're at, it could be a year, 2 years, 3 years, depending on the member. It just depends on what level you fall in. Obviously, if there's a school that's at the red, it may take 2 to 3 years to work their way up to the blue.
And do you pay the same amount of money every year, or is it a one-time?
As of my understanding now, I would believe this is what it would be like every year. This is the introductory one. I would assume, because we have this is just a one-year thing. This is not a three-year contract. It's just 1 year.
Yes.
That it would be close to that range.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Ms. Patsy.
Mr. Basoto.
Yes, ma'am.
You have worked with this
yes, ma'am, I
program
did.
Before, and hence you.
Well, can I tell you what I learned?
Sure.
I learned that not one individual leads an organization. And I know that sounds simple, but through this process, I learned how to work with my teachers and my faculty to bring them along and support them side by side, instead of me telling them what to do. It's a learned skill, and I'm very grateful for it because as a first-year principal, I mean, how much do you really know about junior organizations? You know a lot about pedagogy and content and things of that nature, but how do you need people to work with you? And so this helps you think about how do you interact with the adults in the building and how do you lead them in a way that they feel empowered. And I know that sounds simple, but it's not.
My second question is, have you presented this to art principals?
Yes. They've already been introduced to it through the art and science. The art and science, remember the presentation when we talked about the instructional framework? This works hand in hand with the instructional framework. This is the way to measure the health of the organization in addition to improving the quality of instruction. They kind of go hand in hand. So they've already heard about it, but to say that they know all the 10 domains, I wouldn't be the person to do that. The person to do that would be the people from OHI, because they're obviously the experts in this particular area. I have some working knowledge on it, but ultimately they're the experts, and I would defer to them to come and train them.
And you expect the training to take place?
The first training would probably come in May, April, May, because that way we can assess to see where our schools are at, and then get the data, and then the principals can interpret it in this in May, work with their teams, and then come up with an action plan to start off the school year for next year. So now I know what I need to work on.
Based on that data.
Thank you. Mr. Rubin. No questions.
Who's going to be overseeing this?
It'll probably be myself, ma'am. Myself. But Dr. Valerie's working in the spring and working with principals. Because this is more adult-led professional growth. It's not, it's how well we build a capacity with principals and along with the teams that they're going to be bringing in and looking at the organization of each. Because each school's different.
Okay. Because you mentioned, in May, group of a team, many will retire, many will leave.
Well, that's why the principal has to be purposeful in choosing members of the faculty that are there for the long haul to help improve the quality of the school. So if I'm a principal, of course, I'm not there because I'm not the building principal, but I would choose people that I know are here committed to help me, work with me to build the structures in the campus to make them better, based on whatever the data tells me.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But you said you budgeted for next year.
Yes.
How are you going to start?
Well, part of it starting now, but part of it next year as well.
So how are you going to start it in May if it's out of next year's
budget?
Well,
I think now we have a Title II funding that we have set aside for this year to pay for it now. And then for next year, if everything works well and according, and of course the board approval, we'll continue to build upon that for the following year. Looking forward.
Okay. I have one more question. Did it go through DAP?
No, ma'am. No.
Does it need to? And through leadership? leadership, been through, I mean,
has it's been through a cabinet, yes.
Okay,
yes,
cabinet.
Yes, it's been through.
And principals.
With one-on-one with principals, I've talked to them about the health of their organization and talking on how we're going to measure or how we would like to measure with board approval the health of the climate and culture versus results. So principals have discussed this with principals.
Okay. Do you recommend it?
Yes.
Okay. Recommend to approval.
Okay. Thank you all so
Thank
much.
You. Carlos, thank you. Carlos, next agenda item.
Good luck, Mr. Basu.
Item E, job description, IT, lead support technical specialist. Ms. Carrasco.
Carrasco.
Good evening. Good evening, Madam Chair, committee members. I'm here this evening to present to you and hopefully to recommend for approval for the board, the IT lead support technical specialist. Job description, and I know that Mr. Flores has talked to you about revamping some of the positions in his department, and this will be a new position. It is at a pay grade information technology level 3. The range of pay for this position is $42,902 at the minimum. At the midpoint is $51,690 and the max is $60,000. It will be in the IT department, and the purpose of this position would be to oversee the technology technicians and to coordinate the work orders. I provided you the job description for your review, and at this point, if you have any questions,
questions?
I do. No one is serving in this capacity at this moment?
No, ma'am. No one is serving in this position.
Did we have a similar position in IT in the past?
No. No, this is a brand new position. It is not being used. It's being funded through salary savings from previous positions, and it is not from the PES funding.
Has it been budgeted for?
Yes, with the salary savings that we've had from the positions that we've revamped in that department.
So there's
yes.
money
it's yes, there's
it's
a go. There is funding for
that. Thank you, Ms. Chair.
So it was a position that we did away with, and are we gonna replace that other position or?
Well, as part of the organizational restructuring of that department, we are going to recommend some other positions, but at this time, this is the only one we're bringing forth. If you recall, we have Mr. Flores, his old position. That position was not filled. We also had another coordinator position that also has not been filled. So we have salary savings in that department that we can move forward with bringing this position, and it is at a lower pay grade than those two other positions where we're getting garnishing the savings from.
Any more questions?
Ms. Carrasco, you concur with this position?
Yes.
The need for it?
Yes, there is. Mr. Flores has provided us justification for the need for this position. It would help him immensely with overseeing the work orders that the technicians are having to. He's interested in having the work order system out in a more timely manner and overseeing that group of employees. So this is what this position will be doing.
Okay, we'll recommend it to the full board. Thank you. Next agenda item, please.
Item F, update of sheriff's SRO proposal and SRO proposal from Anthony PB. Mr. Gonzalez.
Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Mike Gonzalez, and I'm here to present the update on the sheriff's SRO program, and I hope we'll have some additional information for you, because there's been some changes to the original proposal. If you recall, sometime in October, we were provided some figures for an SRO program that a grant was offered to the Sheriff's Department, and they offered to have some SROs located in our campus. Sometime in November or December, the county commissioners decided that they would not be part of that funding. Therefore, they came back to us with a counter proposal. And the chart that I provided to you, the purple on the top one, the first one is the original proposal that includes our current SRO. And they revised that with the second one, which is the one further down. And they also said that in this new agreement or new proposal with that, we would be required to maintain the 4 years. In other words, if we signed a contract with them, we would have to go the whole 4 years. We decided that we would ask Anthony PD to see if they would give us a proposal to see up for additional SROs, and that is what you see in the third chart down below. The difference on there is that we are also asking to have the sergeant for the Anthony PD to be one of the SROs, and therefore he's one of the higher paid people in the whole program, so that means a little bit higher. Anthony did say that we had a third proposal or a second proposal that if we hired three regular officers, it would be decreased significantly.
Did you mention?
No. They make a note on there, please, that there was a correction on here in the first column under NPPD, the proposal. It's a $45,397 rather than $53,000. And that makes about $5,000 difference, $6,000 difference.
Can you say that again, sir? Will you repeat that again, sir?
$45,397.
For the total on the very first, for the first 4 months.
Yeah, the reason was that took 5 months instead of 4 months. I miscalculated it for months. Any questions?
And the reason we brought this forward with the spirit when we first thought that the Sheriff's Department, when we met with Chief Gamba, we didn't know that this still wasn't approved by the county. And then after all the overtime and all these expenses started adding up, we just felt we have a very good relationship with Anthony PD already, this Officer Goddard at the high school. So we went into negotiation with Chief Enriquez to offer us a sergeant who also has SRO experience, and then two officers for the difference of $9,000 with a car and not worry about overtime. So the benefit for us as administration to go with Anthony if, again, the board still wishes to have police officers on the campus.
Let me just add that, pardon me, with this, Dr. Gunn, he just said basically with the Sheriff's Department, we will be required to pay any overtime at time and a half. And with the FPD, we cannot pay any overtime. It's a straight amount. Also, in their contract, it says that for the Sheriff's Department, it also says that anytime that they're called to go to court, or if they have leave or require training, they don't have to show up, we still have to make the payment, and we're just without an SRO at that time. So that was another issue that Mr. Blanco, our attorney, brought up to them the last time, and they have not answered that yet. Yeah. We're asking for the board to recommend that we go with the Anthony PD, as presented here in the presentation.
Ms. Norrie?
Yes. Dr. Gillespie, have we pursued any I don't have a problem with any of this. I'm whatever the committee wants. But if we pursued any federal funding, I know I brought 2 years in a row, I've brought us a lot of information that says the federal government will pay this for us because they're so worried about shootings in schools.
Yes, ma'am. We've looked into that, and I've been told, and so has a letter and the schools that we have to petition to the state. The state has to petition that information to the federal government, and then the state will decide if it goes to us or not. And so far, we haven't been able to get anything coming from them on a positive level.
Okay, yeah, thank you.
Do you know at the high school, like I know that we have, at the present time we have 3 officers, correct?
One.
And we're looking at getting 2 additional ones?
We have 1 SRO officer and 2 security guards right now, and we're looking at getting 2 additional ones, 1 each for the middle schools.
And I know that the high school and the middle schools have so many activities at night. Are we scheduling them so that they are there present, like, for, you know, for security purposes?
We do have the option to set the times, and actually we have more flexibility with Anthony PD than we would with the Sheriff's Department to set their date, the times that they will report. Right now I have, the board allowed me to hire a couple more security officers, and right now we are I'm having 1 security officer to get all the campuses, the middle school and the elementary schools, at least 1 hour in the afternoon. So we have a little bit of coverage right now.
Are we hiring sheriffs at all?
We are hiring sheriffs right now for the football games. And normally we have hired 10.
But we do flex Officer Kivik's schedule, so she is there Friday nights for the football games, because she already knows her students versus the Sheriff Department.
Yeah. And right now it's Sergeant Gomez and Officer Codd and Wilco are at the football games also.
You mentioned here in the paper the recommendation that SRO Sergeant. We don't have to, huh?
No, right now we do not have a Sergeant. That is his current rank at the Deputy PD, and we don't have a Sergeant right now at all. Only SRO we have is Officer Goddard.
Right. Adrian?
Good.
Okay. I guess we'll go with administration's recommendations to the full board.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next agenda item.
Item 3, community input.
Community input. Lily.
Hello, Lily.
Is that what we're
doing?
It is. Especially for you, Lily.
Good evening. I just have a question on Mr. Bussey's presented the
OHI.
Yes.
Organizational health.
Yes. It's more for building the teachers. You use the student data to be able to build the teacher's attitude, right? I'm going to call it attitude, towards making a better school, which in turn will help the students achieve higher, right? I'm just curious, because it does sound like PLC. Now, I don't know, I'm just going to speak for my campus, but at my campus, unfortunate enough to not have a principal that dictates to us. We meet at our PLC and we've implemented, I'll be going to a training at the end of February, it's called WIN, What I Need to Know Now. And so every week that we meet, it's the teachers, and yes, we have an administrator or an instructional coordinator in there, but they're not telling us what to do. They're kind of they're sitting back and they're listening, and then if we have a question, they're there so that we can ask. And we're analyzing data, we're trying to figure out exactly how do we address the need for the student of what I need now, you know, kind of thing. But my question is, we all know, I mean, reality, you're gonna have a few people who are very adamant and combined into this. I'm trying to be realistic without sounding harsh, but the reality is you have those people that are set in their own mind. You know, it doesn't matter what you bring up, it doesn't matter what strategies, it doesn't matter what, even if it's going to benefit the students, they're set in their own mind of teaching and doing what I do. How is this going to help change that attitude? It's like a child, a student. I can teach them all the strategies that they need to be able to apply to succeed. But if they absolutely do not want to, it's an attitude. I can't adjust their attitude no matter how much I talk to them, no matter how much I give them advice, no matter how much I scold them. So I see the same thing with adults, and sometimes I see it would be a lot more difficult. So how are you going to address those few that are adamant of they're not open to change? How will this help?
It just forms structures and processes. So let me use goal focus for example. I'll just tell you how I did it. So goal focus was, there's two ways to do it. Goal focus is, these are my goals, at the end of the year, here's what we're going to do. I never asked anybody or incorporate anybody in the campus to create those goals. I just, me the principal, decided these are the goals based on what I interpret the data to be, and therefore I'm telling you these are going to be. That's one way to do it. Another way you could do it is, in May, what I used to do was, and I learned this through HI, was I would look at the data in May with you all in grade levels. And then I would ask each grade level to propose academic goals for next year based on what you believe the data tells you. So then, after school, kindergarten would come up and present their goals, first grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. And then based on what everybody proposed, we would create a ballot. And we held a ballot for a week, and it was open. And anybody could vote, and their vote counted just as much as mine, yours, or anybody's. And at the end of that ballot, we adopted 3 to 4 goals. We communicated those goals. This is what we're going to be about. It was voted by the people, for the people, for us, all of us together. And then we would create an action plan based off of those goals. You're right. There are going to be some individuals who are just not going to want to be a part of that organization. That's going to have to come down to the leadership of the building once you have systems and programs. The fact that I hear that your principal's working with you and not over you makes me happy. That tells me that your organization, just by hearing you talk, you're not on the red level. You're further along in the continuum. But I promise you, there's probably some.
I can think of one campus that is.
Well, I'm not going to get it. I promise you, some campuses are related. So you're further along.
Oh, my goodness.
And if you got the results to correlate with how you feel, because I can feel good about myself, I feel great, but if we're not getting results, then probably it's not. But if I got results with how I feel and it's putting me in the top quadrant, then that shows that you have a more mature campus and you guys are working well together. And those individuals, for lack of a better word, are going to be, if I was the principal, I would coach them into thinking about another profession or another school.
Okay, that's what I'm leading.
But that's not the point of which I want to start.
No, but that's where I'm leading. Because, you know, it's very hard when you have people that are willing to work and know and adapt to change for the better of the student. Because that's what we're here for.
That's the whole point.
But it's very frustrating, and it's very hard to keep your composure when you're dealing with certain people, and it's the same people that will not change. And so to me, it's like there has to be a consequence. Just for the child, the same child is doing the same thing over and over and over that is not right, there's a consequence. And so too many times, and I'll just give you an example. Okay, we're not supposed to keep the doors open for safety reasons, but those doors are still open. And it's the same people leaving the doors open. And there's no consequence. You know, where I'm making a point to send my student, take that rock out and go close the door. Okay, it's an extra effort on my part, but I think that, enough is enough.
So how are some communication, how can we set up a communication to where we state what you just stated in a committee?
It's been done.
To let people know, well.
But that's what I'm saying. It's been done, we've talked, we've met, we've, you know, about this and this and this, but it's still those same people. So to me, it's like, okay, I agree with you. You know, if you're not willing to buy into this that's going to help, then I do think that you need to look for another profession. If I were in that position, that's after so many times of addressing. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So my question is, can I ask a question? So as the veteran teachers of the building, the leaders of leaders within the building, you know who they are. There are certain people in your building who are the leaders within the school. Do you agree? The people that they turn to and they, when they speak, they get results year after year. They know their content, they know their teaching practices, and people look to them for guidance. So my question is, and I'm not trying to put anybody's spot, but is, have those leaders within the building spoken up to those individual teachers on the side and say, hey, the rest of us are doing it more than you? Because sometimes peer pressure means more than, and see, remember that graph I showed you, the infighting? And so it talks about those kind of things, like how you as a teacher leaders within the building can have that kind of influence and power to affect change without having to dictate, you will do it because I'm going to write you up. It's more like, you know what, we do this because this is the right thing.
Right.
And we feel that this is important, and we're coming to you, talking to you as a professional, that we need you to get on board with us, because if you're not doing your part, we're not securing the school, whatever.
Well, in answer to your question, within my grade level, we tell each other, hey, what's up with this, you know?
Yeah.
I'm doing it, you got to do it.
Exactly.
And there was one thing there that it said to address and
you're not pointing even
confront.
On that? Yes, yes.
My grade level is at that level.
So maybe where you're it's at that like second stage.
We're confronting each other, not to be mean, but we're confronting to make it better. Okay,
exactly.
But yet, we can't go and confront another grade level that is not there yet.
But there are ways.
So this is going to teach us how to do it without
yes.
them not talking to us.
Exactly. There are ways.
It's
I'm not,
really.
I'm not going to tell you that it's a perfect system, but at least you see the fact that
you're. I'm just curious.
No, you know what? I know you're going to be.
Of it. That's good.
But Mr. Pasuk, I know Miss Lily is going to be one of those leaders that's going to be selected by her principal, and I know that she's going to take action in her.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, but the bad thing, this is my point, is that it's the same people, and sometimes the same people get tired. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think it has to be a whole effort, and I think that those that are not partaking, that need to be talked to outside of the staff, and say, okay, we're, you know what I'm saying?
You're not with us or you're not with us.
Exactly.
Right. I agree with you.
Because it takes a team. It takes a team, and if only part of the team is working, you're going to burn out that team and put forth so much effort to make it work when the others are just laid back. And that's going to be more frustrating than it is right now.
Yeah.
But I can definitely see where this would be beneficial for some campuses.
Yeah.
You know?
Are you even aware of what stage you're in? I mean, I just talking to you, Lily, I can kind of already tell you more or less where you're at.
By what you just showed, I can see where. And I'm not talking as a whole campus, but as a grade level, I can tell you where we're at.
I can talk to you. She's giving me the
looks.
Okay, Mr. Bachurto.
That was my question.
All right. Thank you.
My question is
thank
how are
you? And if you, I can see you, if Mr. Bachurto is the expert, he can clarify that with you more.
We should give you Mr. Barsuter's cell phone number.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lily, for your comments. Okay, and then...
Thank you for carrying
on. Item 4, adjournment.
And it is 7:14. Thank you.
Hey, Dr. G.
Good meeting, Lily.
Quick and easy. Dr. G, do you ever have a timeline on when we're going to get that teacher workload report?